Everyone's have desire this evening to read with God's help from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 10. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 10, beginning on verse 25 and end up with verse 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. May the Lord bless these few verses. There once we read a from a very familiar account, I believe, to each and every one of us. Account that we have heard many times, perhaps. One account that is maybe even familiar, very known to someone who never stepped into a church. Account about Good Samaritan. But I think, as a young lawyer asked Jesus, what does he need to do to inherit eternal life? This should be something that we each ask ourselves. We each ask whoever we need to ask. What do we need to do to inherit eternal life? Because if we believe what the Word of God says, that there are only two places, that there is only two places that we will choose today where we will go, or we will choose today what will we do to inherit eternal life. And hopefully we don't ask, what should we do to inherit eternal hell? Because that is coming for each and every one who doesn't care about what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. The question was very good. I believe the question was Even though it says here that certain lawyers stood up and tempted him, that I believe I believe even with wrong intention to ask this question, the question was very good, and we see that Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" He knew he was a lawyer. He knew he was someone who is educated in law, that studies, that teaches law, perhaps. And he did answer very good, very correctly. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus told him, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." This is what he told him that he needs to do. He knew what he needed to do. This was, we can say, number one law that most every Jew, most every kid from the youngest of age was taught about 10 commandments, and number one being this commandment that we heard in Deuteronomy. Chapter number 6. Just want to read these verses from 4 to 9 about what was Moses teaching about this law, about this commandment. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." This was something that was obviously so important, but it was commanded that they would talk about that all the time. They would think about it all the time. Whatever they were doing, whether they were going to sleep, whether they were waking up, that this was supposed to be something that is taught to children, to everyone, every time and everywhere. So obviously, this lawyer knew what was the commandment. He answered that right. And the Lord told him, "Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live." This is all you need to do, and you will live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And who is my neighbor? In his mind, he wanted to make clear, he knows how far he needs to go to love his neighbor as himself. Who is, where does he stop? Where does he stop doing it? Obviously, neighbor doesn't just mean the person who lives next door to our house. From this account that Jesus told him after these words, we can hear that neighbor is our enemy as well. Jesus told him an account that we all know very well. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. A priest and a Levite. Two of the highest of religious leaders, priests and their helpers. I'm sure they knew about this law about love they got with all their heart, mind and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. I'm sure they were taught in their youth about it. I'm sure they thought many, many people about that. Yet, seems to be they did not understand who was their neighbor, who are they supposed to love as themselves. We don't know the reason why they didn't stop. Were they rushing to a service, to do service, and they didn't want to be late? We don't know. Were they just respecting of persons? They just thought someone else is going to help them, even if they looked at him and saw him halfway dead. We don't know. What we do know, the Samaritan was passing by, and he was moved with compassion. He saw this man laying down. He realized that he needed help, and he did help him. Samaritan, who was considered an enemy, almost a half-breed people that Israelites or Jewish people were discouraged to mingle with, that they were discouraged to deal with in any way, and they were looked down upon. They were looked down upon. A Samaritan, he did see that this man needed help or he's going to die. He said when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took on 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Not that he just made sure, dear ones, that this person is taken care of, that they is brought to safe place maybe where he's not going to be left dying. He made sure he supplied needs, that even this host of this inn did not have to pay out of his pocket to take care of this man that was brought in. He didn't just do one part, dear ones, and left him alone. He made sure this man is well taken care of. And he said, even if he needs to pay anything more, that any cost to cover, that he was willing to do that next time when he comes by. This man, Samaritan, he did have love for his neighbor as for himself. This man who was maybe least expected to have a love for his neighbor, for a fellow man, doesn't, regardless of which nationality. And this is what God is commanding us. We cannot be respecting of persons. In James chapter number 2, he's telling us, what are we? We are transgressors. If we are respecting of persons, we're transgressors. If we see someone, brother or sister, or neighbor or enemy, if we need someone that is in need of a help, and we just go on the other side, dear ones, we're in the wrong way. We're on the wrong path if we think that's okay. Jesus asked the lawyer, the young lawyer, who was neighbor to this man that needed help, and he knew straight up. He knew the answer. It was the one who showed compassion to him. The Word of God is teaching us, dear ones, today, that we cannot be called someone who is loving God with all our being and not loving our neighbor or brother. First John chapter 4, we have verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Verse 19 says, "We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." We will love our brother, we will love our neighbor, we will love our enemy if we are born of God. If we can't love our brother, if we can't love our neighbor, we are far from God. This is what First John chapter 4 is telling us. Far from God. Far from where we need to be. And God loved us. We can tell our brother, we can tell everyone around us that we love them. But words mean nothing if you don't show it in action, if you don't show compassion when it needs to be shown, when we don't show care for each other, when we need to show it. God didn't just tell us he loves us. He showed us he loves us. He sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to die for each and every one of us. He showed us Jesus Christ came down, as brother prayed, to serve, not to be served. He's a son of living God. He has every right to be served, but he came down and he served us. Was it because we were worthy or something? I don't think so. It was because we were lost. We were lost without him, and we are lost if we can't show love that we were shown to one another. May the Lord help us, give us grace to understand these words, dear ones, that we have read. That we cannot be just thinking we love God, thinking we love our neighbor, but we need to show it. We need to put it in action. And we need to put on the display. That's what God is asking from us. And if you can't do it, we have work to do. May the Lord bless these words on our upon our hearts, and to him be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
This portion of scripture that we have read this evening really shows how much higher the calling of God is than the calling of man. God's expectations are so much higher than our own expectations for ourselves. It says this lawyer came to him and tempted him and asked him what he should do to inherit eternal life. And when Jesus asked him what he thought, he gave a good answer. But then it says, and I appreciate the wording here, it says he was willing to justify himself. He had some sort of self-righteousness. And he asks, who is my neighbor? We can make assumptions on the answer he was expecting to receive, but it certainly was not this, what Jesus told him, this parable that he gave. This certainly was not the answer he was expecting. Christ's calling was much higher. Our neighbor is anyone that God puts in our lives, perhaps at the least expected time that needs help. That's who God wants us to help. That is how we inherit eternal life. I thought immediately of another account in Scripture that we have. The rich young ruler also asked Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And again, Jesus asked him, what do you think you should do? But Christ's explanation went so much higher. The rich young ruler thought he was justified in his own life. He thought that he kept all the commandments from his youth up. But Christ said, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And the young man went away sorrowful, for he says he had great riches. He thought he was doing enough. Just as the lawyer here, wanted to justify himself, he thought he was doing enough. Christ lifted the standard so much higher. And Peter, when he asks Christ, how often should someone sin against me that I forgive him? Until seven times, he thought he was taking it to an unreasonably high level. And Christ said, not until seven times, but until 70 times seven, elevating the bar. And this elevating of the standard, God's standard, should not frighten us, but it should call us to a more complete worship of him, recognizing that we cannot meet this standard by ourselves. When we look at how high Christ's standard is, it can make us afraid. And it can make us just simply give up and never even try to worship him, never try to serve him with our whole hearts. But that's not God's intent. His intent is for us to give the battle to him, to recognize that we cannot do this by ourselves. And when we recognize that, then we will be able to live according to Christ's high calling. And it is truly a high calling. Peter was asked by Jesus, lovest thou me? And the response was, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That is what we are called to do as believers. That is our proof. That is our proof that we love him, to keep his commandments. How do we prove that we love him? By keeping his commandments, by feeding his sheep, by having compassion on those that God puts in our lives. It was, as the brother mentioned, a familiar portion of scripture that we read in this evening. But there's always something to gain. Every time we look into God's word, we can make connections to other scriptures. Scriptures connect with each other and explain even deeper God's truths, God's will for our lives. May we take with us a blessing this evening. May we take with us an encouragement this evening, an encouragement that God is giving us all the strength that we need to live in accordance with his will. And may we never try to do anything on our own. May God bless his word. Amen.